When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Best of the Wise Men here on the Fox News Podcast Network.
What it is, this is the Three Wise Men with Tyrus and an all-star cast and Aaron today to talk about the world that we work in. But again, Cousin Trevor, thank you for being in attendance tonight. NWA,
yes,
former world heavyweight champion Trevor Murdoch. We have actor, philosopher, philanthropist, former WWE icon, A-Rai, Kevin Kyrie's in the house, Boston grad. All right.
And introduction. Thank you.
You're welcome. And Aaron is also with us today. Aaron is, for those of you who don't know, is a one-time recipient of Money in the Bank, WWE multi-character. I think he's had about four gimmicks successful, as we call gimmicks, in the WWE.
Grabbing the brass ring gimmicks that should have been
clearly without permission. And
right.
And Aaron is also an NWA superstar as well. Actually, big announcement.
Champion.
Former national champion, former tag team champion with Kratos, Junior Kratos, who we hope to have on the show sometime. Matter of fact, that was probably one of my more favorite tag teams to watch. And, hopefully that team is not finished, because you two guys were extremely physical and entertaining. I enjoyed watching as a fan of the sport.
It was great.
So, in that every one of us has played different characters except for Trevor Murdoch. He's just basically been, first, as we established last time, straight to TV, just one gimmick. This guy's just got it. He's just got it. So with the exception of him, my special guest today that we'll all get a chance to pick his brain a little bit is the one only Godfather. So Papa Shango.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So step your game up. He's going to be joining us. And then I think we always talk about what's else going on in the world besides what's going on in the ring. And I think no one better than wrestlers gets a feel for what's going on in America. I think we'll talk a little bit, and I'm interested to hear what the Godfather says about Elon Musk's recent email to his employees, basically get your ass to work. And see what you guys think about that, because nobody honestly works harder than we do. I mean, in terms of having to be at work, if you're going to be a professional wrestling athlete, it's 300 days.
Yeah.
It's 300 days, period. And the Godfather, he's been from all eras, honestly, and he's still relevant today. He could walk out today on any show, and they're going to go nuts. I mean, that's just I popped just when he threw shade on me a couple weeks ago, and for me, he was one of the first wrestlers that I like. Hey, he kind of looks like me. I like this guy, and I can remember playing the video game Papa Shango. I always picked him. He had that backbreaker finish, so he's been he's been so many successful characters in this sport. Really, he could give, I can't think of that many people, because Nation of Domination, he was the backbone of that.
Yep.
Right to Censor, backbone of that.
Yep.
Shango, I mean, Shango gave you nightmares. And then I remember him when I used to play home sick and watch Global Wrestling. And I always get it's not Dark Angel, but it was something like that. I always forget the name. I hate that. But I was paying attention to him then. So he's been at a high level in this business, and I've never heard bad words said about him in terms of guys in the ring. Not fake stuff you hear on TV or, all that stuff, because that's not what we're about. So I'm excited to have him on. So have your questions ready, because we're going to get a little chance. And this is what I'm going to try to do. We'll bring in legends and just, you know, see what they think of what's going on today. I'm very interested. I'm very interested to see what he has to say. But last time we all got together, the topic of being fired, I never thought I'd have so much fun talking about it. You know?
Well, we went from both ends. We were talking about how we got hired and then how we got fired. Like, you know, we gave him the whole spectrum.
Yeah, and I'm still kind of like, Trevor only got fired and hired by the finest.
Oh,
like, that is just
Jesus Christ.
I mean, just be happy. I mean, it's amazing. It's an amazing thing.
We got to let this go.
We were discussing that we always remember the weather, right?
Yes. It's always sultry.
77 degrees.
Yes. Not a cloud in the sky.
Not a cloud in the sky. And then, yeah, there's levels to being let go in the WWE and the entertainment business. So
I'm kind of glad you brought this up, because I was thinking on my off time, what a great question would be to all of us, to each one of you guys, is what would you have changed? Or maybe better yet, like, what do you think was the deciding factor that got you let go, and what would you have changed?
Go ahead, Aaron. I'd love to hear this.
Well, mine was, it was after, it was WrestleMania in Dallas, I remember, and it was the Raw after that. And I pretty much went to Mark Carano because I did this thing with, it was in the Battle Royal. They had kept me off TV for probably like 9 months, and I was doing a thing with Big Show and Shaq, and I was specifically instructed, when I do this, do not show charisma. It's not about you. You know, you're in there so Shaq can throw you out. And I remember I slid in, I stood up, and, you know, it got the reaction it got, and Shaq threw me out. They booed him. I got to the back. No one would even look me in the face. Yeah. And it was like, okay, you know what? Because the reaction was insane. And I'm not trying to sound whatever.
No. Let me stop you right there. The one thing that this is also, it feels like a weekly therapy session.
Getting fired, though, is good therapy now.
No, it is. But yeah. you have to accept the fact that you were over. One of the things you do, Aaron, that drives me crazy is every time Sandow was over. Period.
Over.
You need to stop apologizing for being over. And the thing sometimes has to be said, the powers that be cannot always control who is over, who the fans, and we say over, who the fans fall in love with. Whether they hate you or love you, they have a reaction. They're passionate about you. When you came out, and I think Sandow was the best you. You've had a lot of because it was just you. It was you with a robe, but it was you. Sanctimonious, arrogant, know-it-all, with a touch of cowardice. It is you.
Oh,
so
beautiful.
So when you talk about yourself, we got to get past the, well, I apologize, because that's still you trying to appease them, and they don't control you anymore. So, of course, the crowd went nuts. Then you were a bodyguard, Mizdow, where you basically were making a mockery of Miz and getting him over at the same time. You were stud guy. It was phenomenal.
Let's just be honest. Stole the show completely from Miz.
Yeah. And Miz is a star. No, yeah, Miz 100%. Is a bona fide star.
And that worked. Again, it took two of us to do that, like to Miz's credit,
right,
but timing and everything. But no, like,
tell your story without apologizing for being great. And I will not interrupt you again. But every time you apologize, I'm going to interrupt you.
All right. So I agree with what you said, and thank you. But what happened was I had just kind of hit this point to where I said, there's nothing more I can do. Like, everything they have given me, I have taken my skill set. And I have kind of, you know, said, all right, I think this is what people would react to. And I kind of scientifically, when I put a character together, there's definitely a method to it. And when they keep kind of handing you things and then they keep you off TV and then they say, again, don't show personality. Like, I just knew, like, all right, they're viewing me as just a body. So I could either get the paycheck, stay comfortable, or I could say, you know what, I trust enough in myself to go out there and try something different. So I asked Toronto, I go, Mark, I'm not happy here. Please let me go. He said no. And then 2 weeks later, they did it with like five or six other people. And yeah, that was why I got let go. I couldn't.
Well, how confusing is it too that your whole job that you've been trained to do, as we all were, was to go out and get attention? Then once you've done that and done your job the best that you could, somebody comes to you and says, go out there and don't get attention. Like, I just think that that's a very confusing space to be in, right? When that is technically your job and you were doing it well, and then you kind of get put in a position where it's, just don't do your job that well tonight.
And that's their fault because they took you away for nine. They took you away for TV. You show up and come out for a Rumble and they go nuts because they haven't seen you. You know, if they don't, and that's impossible unless you were never over. If you were a product of the system and you go away and you show up and you can hear somebody in the crowd go, I like that guy. That's not a good day. You know, that's not a good day. And, you know, to answer Trevor's question, mine was easy. Aaron could tell you that. Once my match got canceled at Mania, I didn't trust anyone.
I remember that.
I was bitter, mad, didn't give – I gave zero f- about anything you were telling me. They'd say, good morning, what's good about it? You know, my whole thing, I came up with that catchphrase, maintaining, because I just did not want to talk to anybody anymore. You screwed me over. And that was my mindset, and I could I've handled it better 1,000%, but I, at that point, was just anything they said to me, I was looking at them sideways, and those who were around me got to see, you know, A-Rod even, you know, the whole, at one point, guys were talking about their future.
We had a conversation, I believe, backstage after that, and that was, you know, that's a tough, right? No, I remember.
You know, and it wasn't like Triple H came up to me, Stephanie came up to me, you know, they were like, man, this, you know, was tough. Even CM Punk was like, hey, I'm sorry this happened, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But it doesn't matter. WrestleMania for me, that was my match. I had been at WrestleManias before, but I had yet to be in a match in the ring. And so for me, that was just, it was the beginning of the end, so to speak. But I would be sitting there and guys would be having conversations. And I did this to A-Rod one time. A-Rod was talking about life and this, that, whatever. And I just said, you know what, guys? Isn't life just too long sometimes? Wouldn't it be great if we just had a button? Like, you can't maintain success. It's impossible. It's too many peaks and valleys.
No, I said life is...
Yeah. Yes.
And that's the thing. That's the thing that you did. And, like, have you told a story about that? Because I was in that match, too. Like, that's, I think, one of the things. I mean, we were kind of tight before that. But, like, when you go through trauma like that, when it's 10 seconds and you're about to walk through the curtain at WrestleMania and you have your family there and it's this big, like, this culmination of a year's worth of hard work and every live event, every, you know, everything you do. And then they just stand up and say, oh, sorry. And it was the, I mean, and I say this because from my perspective, like everyone has a reaction there. I'm not going to name names, but you know, one person started kicking a road case. There were people crying. One guy started politicking for an office job and said, hey, it's going to be great. We're going to do it on Raw tomorrow. And Brodus, it was literally, he was at the curtain. And he just, when this happened, again, simultaneously, you have these reactions. He just did an about face, walked, but he walked out of the arena, which I think is something that we need to examine how he just.
Yeah, I strolled out. I strolled out.
As big and tough as we're supposed to be, that kind of is heartbreaking.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yep. It is. There's no other way to put it. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah,
it's like,
because it's really nothing like you did. You know, it's just, it was, you know, I don't know what the reason they gave you for, if it was a time issue. Or whatever.
Taker and Punk went over 10 minutes. They went 15, almost 15 minutes over.
And I don't, you know, I don't want to get too personal, but I mean, you should still get paid, right? I mean, if that's, because that's, really, that's our job.
That's another thing. And you don't get paid because you don't have the match.
Right. Well, there you go.
And you disappear from history. So you're not even in the DVD in the back, you know what I'm saying? And we were featured. Yep. So, you know, and again, it goes back to, and I'm not throwing shade on anybody in the office. I'm not, you know, I'm not. Taker, little bit, but because you didn't need it. You're Taker. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Punk didn't need it.
Agreed.
They didn't need it.
Yeah.
and Taker has so many WrestleMania moments, he probably has forgotten more than we've seen. So from that standpoint, you know, I'm like, because if we would have done that to somebody else, he would have been the first one waiting for us to be like, how selfish, you know. But anyway, it ain't about him either. But for me, it is very similar. It's like coming home from work and you're seeing your girl on the table with your brother. You know what I'm saying? That's the best way to describe it. And it's not even the affair so much as it's where you have your meal of food. It's where you have your conversations. You raise your children. You open your mail. It's the family, the kitchen table. You know, it's you. And then you find out that your brother's been raising your children under his moral code while you're at work. It's a complete defamation of who you are. I think that's the best way to describe it. And then you have to, the next day, turn it on. And for me, I did not mentally, at the time of my life, I did not have the ability to just, what you need to do in this business, in this sport, is have a short memory. You got to have a short memory. Right. And I couldn't let it go. Now, it became entertaining in the back because I was literally, I had an issue with everything and I no longer cared about not saying what was on my mind. Like the whole thing where I said to A-Rod, wouldn't it be great if there was a button you could push? Like, and new champion of the world. Well, it's not going to get any better than this. Thank you for your time. Push the button. I'm out. You can't maintain. Right. You just can't maintain success, A-Rod. It's impossible, you know? Yeah. And so, I mean, that was that. I mean, there was, we guys would give speeches for uplifting. You know, Big Show gave this speech about sticking together because we had a thief, supposed thief in the locker room. Somebody lost their wedding ring. Hey, no dude stealing a wedding ring, okay? But that's a good story for the wife. But anyways, you know, so it was missing some jewelry and, you know, then all of a sudden mysteriously an iPad came up missing or whatever. And so there was a whole locker room thing about, you know, when Big Show gave a speech, you know, about we're all together and team and this, that, whatever. And as soon as he finished, I just stood up and said, I don't know about y'all, but you watch yours. I'm watching mine. I'm out for self. Deuces. Have a nice day. You know, and that was just who I was at that point.
So the exact quote was, Show said what he said. There was about 2 to 3 seconds of silence, and it was, F that, every man for himself. You watch yours, I watch mine, homie. I will never forget that. Yep. That's exactly what you said.
Enough said.
And so
to say, Trevor, that I didn't handle it well would probably have been an understatement. And that's something to have a short memory. And I was unable to do so and became, when it came out to do business in the ring, I did business. But doing business behind backstage, I couldn't do it anymore. I just, the explanation wasn't good enough for me. And that's not only when you miss, WrestleMania launches your next year. Monday Night Raw launches your next year. And when that's off and then you come out and you don't have a great performance on Monday, which again had nothing to do necessarily with what me and Tenzai were trying to do. And the crowd knows you got cut. So they're a bunch of, you know, and they're basically shitting on you. So it spirals down from there. Now you have no friends. Everyone who talks to you has got an angle. The office sees that when you walk in, you don't say hi anymore. You know, you just, you become just jaded. And I was extremely jaded and I wasn't able, and I didn't have anything necessarily positive in my home life at the time either. I had a lot of turmoil. I was dealing with fatherhood and I didn't necessarily embrace it at first. So there was a lot of things going on outside of the ring that was a contributing factor. So I don't blame, and I talk about this in my book, I don't ever blame anybody for my, it's bad things happen. It's your reaction that you're judged by. And my reaction in the WWE was terrible. So I'm judged by that moment. So me being eventually let go had a lot to do with that. And I even can, and A-Rod was in my ear. He was in the meetings at NXT when they were like, we got to relaunch Brodus. We got to get him going. This guy's too good to be sitting at home. But my attitude was so just, I didn't believe anything. A-Rod would be like, hey, bud, you know, keep working, because we would see each other in the gym. And A-Rod was always a positive guy. Even with all the crap he was going through, he didn't show it. Like, you would never see – A-Rod would always have a laugh, even though you'd be like, maybe he was crying on the inside. But his business face was always positive.
That's my go-to.
Yeah,
that's
but you – yeah, and my business face is quite different. It's quite different, you know. Right. I'm basically looking at everybody like, what? You want – what you need, you know? You're listening to the Three Wise Men, and we'll be right back after this.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.
Here's the thing. It was real. And when there is a business that is predicated upon these, I'll say it, stupid rules that, you know, we're a publicly traded company, but it's the largest mom and pop shop in the world because ultimately every single decision can come down to one human being who has his opinion swayed by a bunch of like these stooges that are so scared of losing their job that it inhibits them from actually doing their job. And you know something? That was a crappy environment. And I'll say this because, again, I don't plan on ever going back to the WWE. And there was a lot of positives. Like, we can all talk. If it wasn't for WWE, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And they've each given all of us so much. So I'm not trying to be negative about WWE. But the culture backstage, it's literally, I equate that to, like, carnival culture. Because it's like, on one hand, be a star. Don't bully people. But then the chairman of the board will sit everybody down and say, you need to step on toes and stab people in the back to get ahead. And I need someone to grab the brass ring. I almost wanted to go to him and say, are you serious? Like, what do you want me to do? So I have to compromise my own integrity and my code of morals just to get ahead here when I'm getting a better reaction and they're chanting my name when your world champion is in the ring. I don't think so. And that's one thing, man. I think we all managed to escape there with our souls, if you believe we have souls. I know you may not subscribe to that, but you know what I'm saying? You guys,
I'm a believer in that. Yeah, I believe we got it.
And we all know, and I think we all came out more experienced, more, you know, weathered to what we're willing to put up with and what we're not willing to put up with. And it ultimately brought us all to the NWA.
Right.
And it's, we're at a locker room, and I was talking to Kevin about this before the show. That locker room in the NWA is what I believe we've all wanted. You know what I mean? Camaraderie, no horse shit, everybody straightforward, helping out young guys, helping out each other, all with a common goal. When you have that work environment, when you have that job to go to, you get excited about work. You get excited about what you're going to do. And you also get excited about wanting to help another person because that's the gimmick. It's all about helping each other. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And what's cool is there's still the pain in the ass guys. It's just that we outnumber them. So they're easy. Yes. They're easy to pick out. And everyone has a good laugh. Yeah. When you watch somebody politic in the room, you're like, this guy, look at him.
Yeah.
Look at him, you know, and because sometimes they what they see and what they think is the way to get there, they try to emulate, you know, and they try to like form little cliques and stuff. And we're just 99.9% of our locker room just doesn't have time for that. You know, we're all trying to put forward the best performance we can. And, you know, and if all of us succeed, it's better for everybody. So we really don't have time for that one guy or gal who's like trying to move ahead behind the scenes. We just, you know, and now it's because we've all grown. Now when we see it, it's laughable. You almost get, you know, almost laugh at the situation. And, you know, Trevor, your career was very different in the sense, but you had to deal with, I think, our error when we came in, especially dealing with the workload, we had the workload. I think you're during your time, I think you had such a longer work schedule. I think you guys just never stopped. I think we got 2 days off, solid 2 days off. And you guys had like one, I think. I mean, it seemed like you were always working.
Well, we were. And the good thing about the time that when I was there was I could be on every house show and only do a couple minutes on TV, but still make a really good living.
House shows where the money's at.
Yeah, that's where, you know, and honestly, from a wrestler standpoint, the house shows were the funnest because you got to go out there and do you. You know what I mean? Do what you were brought there for. Whereas when you got to TV,
It's about the clock.
Yes, and you didn't want to step on someone else's toes that might be doing something similar to what you do. And so for me, that's like, I was really happy. Like, okay, if you guys aren't going to push me, as long as you're going to keep me working, I'm okay with that. But I didn't have the connection with the office that I probably should have, or that would have helped me out career-wise. That's everybody. It was great to go from the independents to TV and be world champion, but I hadn't built any of those relationships that I needed to really kind of find out what direction to go to, who to talk to. I was really out there on my own, and I would go to writers, they would always blame somebody else about why we weren't on TV or why we weren't listening. Until one day we just got pissed. Like, Lance and I got mad, and I was like, let's just track down Vince. I want to talk to him right now. I don't care. And he was sitting in catering by himself, one of the very few times. And Cade and I just, quote unquote, we tag teamed him, sat on one side. I sat on the other. And we're like, you know, you're not putting us on TV. We want to know why. And he looked at Lance at the time. Lance had black hair. And he goes, I hate your fake black hair. And he looked at me. I was a little bit pasty. He goes, and I hate your pasty white skin.
Aw, damn.
We go, okay, we can fix that. Sure enough, next week, Lance has got fried blonde hair, and I have got the thickest sprayed-on tan that you could possibly think of. And sure enough, we were on TV the next 6-7 weeks. And that's where that's how my kind of situation, that's how my kind of program went. It was up and down. I didn't know how to navigate some of the pathways. And it just got to a point where at the end, you know, I didn't talk to the right people when it was time for cuts. I didn't know it. I didn't see it coming. Again, I got let go on July 3rd and got the whole, you know, creative doesn't have nothing for you. I think ultimately my biggest problem was I didn't have the relationships I needed to continue my job.
Yeah, that's what I regret. I think I should have gone to Vince more. You know what I mean? Like, gotten more, you know, I don't want to say more frustrated, but had more questions and gone right to him more and asked him, you know, why am I not being used specifically, you know, and kind of really tried to form that relationship with him. I do regret that. And then towards the end of my career, I always wondered with Sandow, like, you reinvented yourself so many times. And when I kind of shifted away from the gimmick, right, that I had as the varsity villain, and then they moved me to Miz. After that, when I lost steam, I believe I was having kind of a hard time, like, truly reinventing myself, right? And I always wondered, does it take more talent to get massively over once, or does it take more talent to keep reinventing yourself?
You know what? And that's a great question. Who better to ask that question, A-Rod, than I think, in my opinion, the king of getting a gimmick over? I mean, yes, this brother, he could be right to censor. He could be the super pimp, Papa Shango. I mean, he turned the urn into a chain, man. He made it cool. So, I mean, if there was... You know, you see guys get in the Hall of Fame for different factions, you know, like, you know, Flair's in with the Horsemen and he's in for himself. I would like to see Shango in. I would like to see Karma in, Godfather, because they were all, if they were individual people, they would all be getting the same nod. Do you guys feel me on that?
Totally.
Absolutely.
Well, first of all, I got to make a correction. When I was inducted in 2016, They went with Godfather, but Kama, Papa Shango, Kama Mustafa, and the right to censor Goodfather were all kind of chain linked in with that, and they were all inducted.
If you look, we should have got different ceremonies for each one, man. We should have got a party for each one.
Well, I hope they gave you five rings.
Yeah, you get five rings, right?
I probably look at things a lot different than you guys, but I have a feeling that the Nation of Domination will make its way in there sooner or later.
Oh, yeah, too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, plus, I don't want five rings. What the hell? I ain't no basketball player. I want no five rings.
Man, it makes for a good photo. You know, Booker T walked around five times forever. Times, that would be a record. But first of all, man, thanks for coming on today. And I don't know if you heard A-Rai's question, but, you know, what we're basically talking about today is how you reinvent yourself. And like I said, I can't think of a star who did it at a high level better than you did. Across the board, I really tried to rack my mind. I mean, guys maybe sometimes did it twice, you
right.
know.
Yeah.
You know, Mick Foley, obviously, you know, with Mankind, but you still knew it was Mick Foley. You know what I'm saying? Like, whereas you completely reinvented yourself.
Congratulate you on your book, man.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate
congratulations
it.
On that. Man, my story is so much different than everybody else's because I never started off as a wrestling fan. I'm older than most of the guys. I'm 61 now. But I was in the roller derby, bro. Back in the day, roller derby
in
Northern California, roller derby was bigger than wrestling. And so I was never really a wrestling fan. When I did get into wrestling, although I respect the business, love the business, made money in the business, but I was never a fan of it. I was more a fan of the boys. And I got into wrestling because I was this crazy biker dude with a bunch of tattoos, and I wanted to be around crazy people just like me, man. And back then, you know, everybody was bigger back then, and everybody was more, I should say, a little crazier maybe back then. And we had a lot of fun. And for me, it was fun. I always had a strip club in Vegas called Cheetahs. I was one of the owners
there.
Of
been there a few times, once or twice.
Yeah. I'm one of the owners. We sold it 4 years ago, but I always had money coming in, bro. So when they would reinvent me, because if I wasn't having fun, I would leave. It wasn't about business. It was about fun. Yeah. And so when I was Papa Shango, I went through a really ugly divorce. And I wasn't Charles anymore. I became this guy they call Bear, who's a whole different guy that we try to keep locked up. And so they would call me to get me to come back. And I'd be like, nah, I don't want to come back. And they'd call me and I'd say, nah, I don't want to come back. And then they said, well, I tell you what, if you come back, we want to do this Ultimate Fighting thing. And they got this guy named Chemo. We're going to kind of go off of that. And I'm like, nah, I don't want to do that. And they said, we'll let you ride a Harley. And when they said that, I'm like, oh, I'm in now. But yeah, that's why it was, you know, the only the character I think that got over the most was Godfather. And that's because it was just me and it was my wife's idea. It wasn't my idea. It wasn't Vince's idea. It was my wife's idea to do that gimmick. So, I mean, I tried hardest at everyone, but, you know, I was pretty lucky. It's funny, Tyrus, because today people will look and say, I didn't know you were Papa Shango, or I didn't know you were in the Nation of Domination with The Rock. And I'm like, dude, really, how many black guys look like this, you know?
Bruh, and that was one of the things that when a younger guy, you were one of the first wrestlers I saw, like, hey, he kind of looks like me. He could be a cousin of mine. So, that was one thing that I identified with. And you're right, because even though Papa Shango has the same tattoos as everybody else, it was when you came back, I figured it out quick because I was a fan of it. But they're all different because once you became something new, you didn't go back to the other one. I would say, though, it is nice, and this is awesome to hear, when they need you more than you need them, it's a completely different experience. When you are in a situation where, one, they can't dangle a paycheck over your head because you're making money. Nope. So they can't say, hey, guess what? You're going to do this and this week. And you're like, you know, actually, I'm not. I'm gonna take my ball and go home, and I'll call me when, you know, I feel like doing it again. So that in itself is awesome and an amazing story, because so very few athletes who are in this, not just wrestling, football, basketball, baseball, rarely get in a position to where they can call their own shots. So, and that is great and interesting to hear, because that's what you should all atone to. You know, that's, I've gotten myself to now, like, if I don't want to wrestle, I'll be like, I'm good.
You still wrestle?
Oh yeah. I wrestle NWA. Yep. I'm the,
you're big, but you're young.
NWA undisputed national television champion. We hear it every time he comes on the program. Well,
that belt's a shoe. It's a shoe.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I whoop Pope's punk ass for it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
who?
The Pope.
You beat who?
Pope.
I thought you said Hulk.
No. I'd still have to put him over. Politics ain't changed. That's an affectionate term for Pope. It's affection. I've donated enough to his charity, so I can say whatever I want. Billy Corgan's NWA, when he started it, because I was with Impact for a little bit, and then once Fox started to get going, and I've never been a real big fan of the indie stuff. Like dealing with promoters, and it gets annoying to me sometimes. And I got to the point where I was like, you know what? I'm doing so much. I'm making money in TV. I'm making money with Fox and movies and stuff. If it's not a right situation for me, then I'm not going to do it. And
that's the point. That's where you got to get.
Yeah. And then when I met Billy in TNT, and I thought, or in Impact, and I was like, hey, man, when he started running his own company, I just liked the way he did business. I liked the way he let the boys run the show in terms of you're the ones in the ring. You figure it out, you know, and there was no none of that stuff where you have somebody who's never spent a second in the ring telling you how to do things, because I don't do well with that anyways. Right. I also never did well with guys who call things in the back. Like, if you tell me 7,000 moves you want to do out there, I'm going to be like, bruh. I'll see you out there, man. You want to write it down on a piece of paper? Because I'm not going to remember all that. I'll see you out there.
I don't know how these young cats today, I mean, it seems like it's one big spot. If you would have hit me with all those spots back then, I would have said, I would act like I was listening. Yeah, okay, yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when I got out there, I would have just jumped you, started beating your ass.
So there you know, go. Welcome to the world of Tyrus, because that's what I do. That's exactly what I do. Been known for doing. Yeah.
But what's messed up is when you kind of put a match together like that, and it's point A to point B, the sad part is, and like we all – are going to, I think, agree with this, is it leaves no room for the magic to happen, to where when you're just in there kind of flowing and you're going to come up with something or something's going to happen that you can't plan that's going to resonate with the fans. That, in my opinion, is how you really get over. And that's how, like, as a character, you, and I always use this term, it's endear yourself to a crowd. No matter whatever character you're playing, they're invested in the dude that's playing the character, because they know what they're going to get in terms of quality.
Right.
Yeah, because you never know. It's always something you never think about. You know, for me, it was talking back to, because, you know, Vince, is the boss, was like, you never talk to the audience. And I was like, I at first wasn't feeling this Funkasaurus character. So I was trying anything I could do to get out of it without trying to get out of it. And the first thing I did was start talking to the crowd. So, you know what I'm saying? And I came out because they were expecting me to be the monster that I was with Alberto, and I came out, you know, with the Funkasaurus is basically a PG version of the Godfather. Let's not get it twisted. So
pretty over there, yeah, Tyrus.
Yeah, but I didn't get to dance with grown women. I danced with children. So,
so well, I got a question.
I danced with you, Tyrus.
Yes, you did.
Now you said your wife came up with that idea. Now, did she know it was going to go as far as it went?
She just said, I was in the Nation of Domination. I was Kama Mustafa. The Rock now had kind of gone on his own thing. D'Lo and Mark Henry were a tag team. So my contract was coming up, and I said, you know what? I'm still having fun. So me and my wife just said, you know what? Let's don't make you a voodoo man, not an ultimate fighter, not a militant. Just be you. Just be you. And if, when people can see you, they're going to love you, man. And we just put it in pimp form because I've always been around those type of women.
Right.
And I'm really good around those type of women. And those women seem to like me and listen to me. So we just went with it, man. And all that,
almost almost like a pimp, right? Like, bro, he's got that.
Hey, if you talk to Rod Simmons, he'll tell you, like, hey, Godfather's fooling them all. But it was just me, man. It was fun to be out there just being me. I was never scripted. They would give me a time and a finish. And nobody ever scripted me. I was allowed to say whatever I wanted. I was allowed to do whatever I wanted. And there was no checking it, man. It was whatever I did, I did. So I was having a lot of fun.
Hold it right there. We'll be back in a bit. You know, for me, one of the greatest entrances at WrestleMania, I think, was when you came out with Ice-T. I think that was one of the coolest entrances of all time. And it was it was also a real good mainstream thing, I think, because, you know, Attitude Era by far is probably the, I would say, the rock and roll era of wrestling. That's when, like, it wasn't kids and families, you know, it was like a rock and roll concert. I mean, you guys, I mean, from top to bottom, it didn't matter if you were the opening match or, you know, or the dark match, the whole place was going nuts. I mean, guys were making more money than ever. You guys even changed the way pay scale worked in wrestling. But, you know, Ice-T, who's a cool dude and a straight shooter. But I remember seeing y'all come out like that, and I was like, man, that's how you're going to do it, you know.
That was fun.
Yeah,
that was fun. A lot of moments like that. You know, in my case, I can't talk bad about the WWE because in my case, they've always been up front and straight with me. To this day, since 2003, I've been under a Legends contract. They, whatever reason, a really good friend of mine told me one time, not too long ago, that I've got a special place in Vince's heart. So I'm just going to go with that.
Hey, here's the real. They're always up front with you. You might not like what they're saying. And, you know, when you do, and when you, most athletes don't, and it's in every sport. You're in a situation where, like a Drew Brees, when it came time for you to retire, you could step down and, you know, they're like, man, we miss you. If you ever want to come back, not everyone gets that. Not everyone in the NFL gets to retire. Most get cut. Most get sent home. Wrestling is the same thing. When they decide they're moving on, at the end of the day, it's a business. Now, you might have emotional connections, and we get that, but at the end of the day, if you're mad at them, if you're upset with them, you need to look at you. Because I always, like I said, I talked about my grandmother gave me that thing. When you get hit in the mouth, it's not who hits you. It's your reaction that you're judged by. And for the guys that are bitter with the business, look no further than yourself. During the time you had there, did you get over the best you can? Because here's the thing. If you did, if you're a star and you're talented, the WWE is just a vessel. So you could turn that on, that charisma, that style, in other forms of entertainment if that's what you choose to do, or your work ethic and other things. So they told me, we didn't think you were going to be, we're not going to make you world heavyweight champ. I said, bet, I'm going to get over somewhere else, to the point where I'll be bigger than what you got. And that was my mindset. Right. I'll show you. And I've done that. So I could go back and say, man, you're wrong. You were wrong about me. Or if it wasn't for them lighting the fire, I wouldn't be where I'm at. So you have to, and everyone, we all talked about last week on a show, we all talked about when we got fired, and now we can laugh and make jokes about it because now you have to. If you're still holding on to that, it's on you. I mean, it's on you.
You know what? I don't think I was ever let go ever.
Well, even there you go, Trevor. Somebody beat you.
The Godfather said, hold my beer.
Yeah.
When they put me in the right to censor, I was done. And I'm like, I mean, when Vince told me I was doing that, I'm like, Vince, I'm out of here. I used to just go to Vince and say, I'm out of here, bro. And he would laugh at me. I'm like, I'm out of here. I ain't doing this. He goes, Charles, do me a favor. We're going to poke fun at this group. He goes, this and that, that and this. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm out of here as soon as I can. Then I made the mistake of telling The Undertaker, I'm out of here next week. So then I go to TV and they drop the straps on me and Bull. We beat the Hardy Boys for the straps. Well, being that I'm a loyal dude, I ain't going to walk out on them.
Yep.
I was stuck there longer. But as soon as they got the straps off me, then I was done. Because I wasn't having fun. Wrestling was changing. I didn't like the way it was changing. So it was time for me to walk away. And I just kind of walked away. And they're like, well, you want to do this? They call me. I say, no. You want to do this? I say, no. And then they just keep me on a Legends contract and keep me, you know, in merchandise and stuff. And I'm cool with that. And they're cool with me. But see, I was part of that group. When I came in, there was no social media. There was no laptops. There was no cell phones. They just came out with pagers. So Vince used to go out with us every night back in the day. And then when social media started coming out and people start taking pictures, he stopped going out with us. But Vince would go out with me and Tate and some of us just about every night, man, doing our stuff. So I'm part of a whole different little crew, which is a good thing.
You're the last group of when the magic was still protected.
Yes, exactly.
Internet killed a part of the bit. Now it's formed in, I think sometimes embracing something like that is the worst thing. And that's one of the things that with the NWA that we keep it the way it was supposed to be. And
which is good.
And I'm cool. Me and Aaron are cool, but we're on the other sides of the squad, bro. I don't drive with you. I don't roll with you because you're on the wrong side of the fence, Briz. So
there's no need.
No. So you know what I'm saying? And if we're both baby faces, then cool. Well, you know, cool. But I think that's why your era is so special, because it showed when you protect the magic. How I don't think anything today will ever, and I'm in today, and I'm on my way out. But your era was the greatest it could be when you protect the magic.
Well, we believed in kayfabe. I mean, I would wrestle Undertaker, and even though we roomed together for a long time, but at the building we'd leave in two separate cars, yep. And down the street, and we didn't. You know, once we were in the strip clubs, that you're on your own then, but.
Yeah, well, it's dark. Yeah, it's dark.
We lived by kayfabe, man. And back then, everybody did. There was a hill bus. There was a baby face bus. That, you know, it was all like that. And I don't think it's like that anymore.
It's changed. I think towards the end of my time there, it changed. Because, I remember, like I said, Aaron and I were cool, and we would go separate directions. And, of course, in Tampa, everyone goes to Penthouse. And that was kind of like, you know, Penthouse was where, like, hey – It's all in here is church. It's church.
Yeah, Penthouse. Yeah. My name was Dollhouse.
Yeah. Oh, they still have Dollhouse. They still have Dollhouse. Don't get it twisted. Back in the day. A couple blocks, but Penthouse is where you went for the steaks, and they have free chicken sandwiches during the day. Oh, so okay. You know, after practice, what? It's a free sandwich, bruh. I mean, yeah. I don't know why you're laughing. Don't act like you never went there for the free sandwich, because I did.
Not one time. I never set foot in Penthouse. Not
oh, well, that's your loss.
That's a lie. You're a truth teller, story. Aaron.
I will say that I have never in my life went to a strip club for the food.
Oh, you've made a mistake, man. You got to go to Penthouse. Best steaks. Yeah, so the owner of Penthouse owns all the Charlie Steakhouses in Tampa, which are like these steakhouses.
Yeah.
So he has the same chef at Penthouse. So okay. The same crew. So the food is phenomenal. So, you know, albeit I'm not one, and this is many, many years before I was married. I'm a different man now. I've changed. But albeit it was, I never was comfortable with, like, we would sit away. You know what I'm saying? Oh. Like, you don't eat your meal by the stage. That's weird. But you go.
We go in the back.
Now, I'm talking about when we were at the Spearmint Rhino and stuff like that. Then, you know, you hope to get some egg whites or something because it's 4 a.m. and trying to keep it going. That's a whole different.
Egg whites in a strip club? Seriously?
Brother, you know
they
what?
They did have a good steak. No, Tyrus, I know we weren't.
No, you can order.
Yeah, you can, especially when you're in. I was a bodyguard. And when I would take my clients to Vegas, I had a hookup at Spearmint Rhino. So I would always bring my clients to Spearmint Rhino.
Good place.
So
good place.
They would do their business, and I would usually be chilling. And when you're a bodyguard, you could say things when a girl comes up to you, I'm working. And then you got them. As soon as you say I'm working, you got all the power. Because I'm here just because I'm on the job. So save your game. And it just then they're more attracted to you. It's like a magnet. Because you're the bodyguard or whatever, but you know, and then they'll be like, right. Hey, you want something to eat? So they take care of you. They bring you food and, you know, whatever you drinks, all that stuff, because you're watching some little dude sitting down having girls pretend that they love him. So and he eats it up, you know, but whatever. He's paying, I'm not tripping. So but yeah, Aaron, if you ever went in certain strip clubs, the food is good. And how dare you be judgmental?
You never set foot in the Penthouse.
No, not one time.
Wow,
there's nothing else to do in Tampa, Florida.
Yeah.
But go to a Bucks game.
Yes, there is. It's called Ybor City. And
oh man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The Godfather has to be exposed to this, man. He's one of them vampire weirdos, man.
No. Can we go back to the egg whites at a strip club? Now, you look steaks. I can understand that. Okay, the guy owns Charlie's. A free chicken sandwich. Okay, you know what? I'm willing to let that one in and not.
You gotta have specials to get guys to come in the day shift, bruh.
But egg whites—that's such a specific thing. I don't think too many dudes like going into a strip club. Number one, kind of want any kind of poultry product. But number two, like,
I mean, you got to remember there was
like,
about
separate them. Are they the liquid egg white? Like
there was about 200 wrestlers in that vicinity in Tampa at the time. Remember? And, you know, yeah. Everybody was pretty much ordering egg whites. So
Aaron, that's where you draw the line is egg whites, and then you're concerned if they're being separated at the facility or if they've come separated. Is that the
cook isn't a stripper, Aaron?
I can't believe you guys.
Are there health issues there? Like you know, because I mean, you've dealt with this before. As far as the cuisine. At a strip club, like, I mean, have you ever heard of that? Like a specific thing with egg whites?
Bro, like I said, I ain't never went to a strip club for the food. Wanted to stay.
I'm trying to stay in a happy marriage, bro.
Bringing girls. I was really good at that, man. And I was like the director of pulling girls out and taking them places. But I never even thought about eating in a strip club, bro. Oh. I was too busy doing my thing.
Yeah, well, for those of us. Yeah, as far as I'm a home life's concerned, I went there for the food. So it was a meal of food.
My wife knows me well, so yeah. I ain't about to
not listen, not all of us get not all of us get to go through life, you know, getting legend deals and never being fired and having the greatest relationship in the history of man to literally say, "Hey honey, you know what you should do? You should be a pimp." Like that happens never in 95% of households.
That's pretty cool.
Hey, you would have
use
what you got.
Hey, and you are blessed. I mean you should be in the Hall of Fame just off that. Just off GP.
Brother, be on your profile on Facebook or something.
The happiest man ever.
I'm over more with the boys than anything. Could you imagine? Now we're going back, but could you imagine every night when you come to the building, there's five or six strippers there that are fans of wrestlers and they've been hanging out with the Godfathers doing all kind of stuff.
I can only
dream. They're in a good mood. And every night you're coming into this, boy, I was over with the boys. I was over like Rover, man.
You would have been good for team morale. I gotta be honest, if the Godfather was in the building and my mask got cut at Mania, I probably would have had a better attitude. You know, it would have been like, oh man, your mask got cut, homie. Yeah, you know, be like, instead of having, you know, setting up therapists and all that stuff for wellness, there should have just been a little office with Godfather's hat on it, being like, having a bad day, swing by, he'll make it. I mean, it would have been, morale would have been phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
That's a TV segment, guys. It writes itself right there.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable, you know. And you know what? We were going to talk about Elon Musk and stuff, but I have learned so much. About quite possibly the greatest off-the-field wrestler of all time. I mean, he literally – nobody gets to walk away and walk back whenever they want to. And that is phenomenal. Absolutely
good
phenomenal.
Good for you, buddy. You know, good for
because,
you.
I mean, it's also because I had another business too.
Yes.
And I could survive diversity. Without that money. That money was great, but I could survive without it. So right. It was never about the money with me. You know, it was about having a good time, man. And I ain't changed a bit, bro.
No.
I ain't changed a bit.
And I'm getting like I said, we met at the WrestleMania in New Orleans, and I was sitting down at the table. We were just shooting the stuff or whatever. And I was a miserable then, looking for the way out. But that's when we had first met. And then, of course, you know, you threw a little shade on me about that Golden State Warriors stuff. But I'm going to let it go. You know, I'm going to let it go. It's all good. Game.
Hey, it's all good, man. Hey, I'm from the Bay Area, you know, man. I got to stick with.
Hey, you as know. You should, as you should. But man,
I think it's going to go seven. I'm going to go with the Warriors, but I think it'll go seven.
Well, if it doesn't go seven, it's going to be a long ass summer. I can't. There's nothing on for a minute, so we need it to go seven because this whole.
Now I don't, but don't get me wrong. I don't hate on the Celtics. I'm not Celtic hater or nothing like that. I just, you know, I'm just going with my Bay Area team. But I ain't got nothing against. I don't even have a dog in the hunt. I have a football team that I follow, but other than that, man, I don't really. I like all sports. I follow everything.
I got to keep my.
You
myself
guys
got to
sit down for a baseball game. There's a lot of baseball out there.
Oh yeah, I mean,
I can't watch baseball. Baseball is too slow and too boring for me.
Oh, you just cut me, Godfather. You cut me.
Every time I see a batter step up and they throw a pitch, and he takes his gloves off and he checks his pants, and then. Then they throw another ball, then he takes out, and the dude, I ain't got time
still
for that.
It takes to take a piece
that'd be
of
like, I'd rather go play golf for 4 hours.
He doesn't like golf either. Wow. You know what? You just went from the king of the mountain to this guy.
I didn't say that I didn't like golf. I said I'd rather go play golf for 4 hours.
I got you. I got you. Or a game of dominoes, because I know you are legendary.
I'm good at.
Yeah, I'm. It's sad because when I came in, all I did was play dominoes when I was bodyguarding with Snoop and stuff, and I caught the end of that. I caught the end of the great domino renaissance of the backstage. And the other guys were like, "Oh, but I'm working on my stuff on my laptop." It's like, that's not really what I said.
Bro, you would have had so much a better time going through the attitude era and just being yourself, and just everything was free and easy, and we're making money. We're living like rock stars, bro.
You were. I mean, 1,000%. 1,000%. And
it was a good time.
Well, man, I really appreciate you coming on today, man. It has been. Truly honored to have you. Hope we can have you back sometime, man. And we learned a lot. And it's such a great, for anybody out there who's young in the business, who listened to this, the biggest thing I can tell you is that when you diversify, when you have ultimate more paychecks coming in, you sleep a lot better and you control a lot more of your future. So a lot of times we get in one lane and we just want to be specialists in one field, and you are living proof, man, that when you are able to do more than one.
You got to keep that hustle on.
You do.
You got to keep that hustle on. Always. Always hustle.
All right.
And I don't mean in a bad way. I mean in a good way.
Oh, I'm knowing. Yeah.
Keep working hard, man. I've been so many different things that some of them I can't say, but.
Hey, enough said.
Just keep working.
Hey, what's that? I said enough said on that one. You ain't got to say nothing else on that one, because that's exactly what it's all about, man, is all the stuff you do, a lot of wrestlers can learn from. Not just wrestlers, anybody. Because you gotta have to make paper in this day and age, and to be successful, to be able to maintain things at a high level, you have to have different revenues. You have to have it. It's the only way to be to where you're not in a situation.
Only thing I can say, and plus, in the WWE, it's good to have good friends.
Oh, yeah. They're friends for life.
Like places.
Yep. Especially, it's a friendship. Wrestling friendships are funny because you don't have to see each other every day. You can go months without seeing each other or even hearing from each other. But as soon as you come across each other, it's like you never left.
You're right. I see people in Vegas all the time, man. It's like, dude, I haven't seen you in 10 years. It seems like I just seen you last week.
Yep. That's the beautiful thing about our business. And I'm sure the other industries have it like that. And, I got my great core buddies, and I was Fox News was nice enough to be like, "Hey, man, you go ahead. You can do what do you want to do for you can do any other podcast you want." I said, "I just want to bring my boys on. Just let us reminisce and have some fun." And, thank you so much for coming on today, man. It's really cool.
My pleasure, man. My pleasure.
Yeah.
No,
love what you guys are doing, man. Yeah. Love what you're doing.
Thank you, sir.
Great to hear from you, Godfather.
All right, fellas. I did not expect that story to be so great. I mean,
that's awesome.
That's how you want to do it. If there was ever a way to do it, that's it. You know what I'm saying? So, what did we learn today, man? What did we learn, Aaron?
No, you know what? Diversify, and that will make you sleep better at night, really. I mean, there really is a lesson to be learned for everybody. And actually, you know what? We always learn something on this podcast. I think that's pretty cool.
Thank you. Thank you. As the reigning, defending, undisputed, undefeated NWA World Television Champion and New York Times best-selling author and, basically the backbone of the number one show in cable TV news. It's what I do. I appreciate that, man. It's not,
you need a gesture that follows you around and just with a trumpet. So when you walk into a room, all of that can be laid out.
Are you auditioning? Because
I'll get the hell out of here.
You know what? I would like to bring something up before we get off the air.
I know a gimp.
No, thank you.
No, I know to where, hey, yes, I'd love to do the podcast. It's Thursday. We're getting ready to rock. And then it's like a couple hours before, it's like, yes, Aaron, we're going on at 3. You know, I understand you're busy swapping recipes with
Well,
Ronaldo
for
Rivera.
More podcasts like this, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. Thanks so much to Trevor and Kevin and Aaron. But Aaron, please submit the rest of your question in writing. With that, enough said. Thanks, you fellas. Deuces, I'm out.
I'm I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.